Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Pomp out today, Donnie Football Friday tomorrow, and I really didn't get much of a chance to talk to the Batconian mongoose today, Mr. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Brian, Ian Rapoport said it, quote, seems like Pickens will miss the game, and there's, quote, optimism for T.J. Watt. Is that what you're hearing? You have direct lines over there.
Yeah, Joe, I'm definitely gaining optimism on TJ throughout this week, but losing optimism on George after he was listed as a non-participant yesterday and Tuesday. So that's kind of where I am on those two.
Man, with TJ, I know you can't say everything you've seen in practice, but why gaining optimism?
Well, the fact that he was able to be upgraded to limited yesterday, albeit in a walkthrough. And I thought there was a tone after the game and then Monday from, you know, after the game from him and then Monday from Tomlin that it wasn't as significant as it looked in the moment. And I think one thing about TJ's position is you maybe can throw him out there on a limited snap count, manage his reps. And I mean, would a few significant snaps from TJ be more impactful than a bunch from Jeremiah Moon? I would say probably.
How about Deshaun Elliott?
No, he was the one of those of that trio, and I would call them kind of the big three in this injury week because, you know, Larry Ogunjobi is a starter too, but I don't think he's quite as relevant to the proceedings as those three. Elliott was the one of those three that I was the least encouraged about, and I wouldn't change on that front after he also didn't practice the first couple days of the week. So I think they might have to live without him again and what could have been his return to Baltimore as well.
Brian, it's hard to feel good about this game except for one thing, and it's a big thing. It's the Steelers' mastery over the Ravens. If they win this game, it'll be 9 out of 10. And I think the 8 out of the 9 right now were by one score. Is that Tomlin over Harbaugh? Is it a coaching edge, a kicking edge in these recent games? I don't know what it is, but I'm torn on this game. I'm torn between, logically, the Ravens coming off a bye, rested and largely healthy against a banged-up Steeler team. You know, the obvious pick is Baltimore. That's why the last I saw, they're a 6.5-point favorite. And yet, there's this... I don't know what you call it. Mastery is a good word. They have something over the Ravens. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but also that stat that you cite about all the one-score games tells me a little bit of puck luck involved in that as well, to borrow a hockey phrase to describe a football matchup. You know, Pony took some offense when I called it somewhat fluky the other day when I was on with them, and I don't mean that the Steelers, you know, haven't been nailed against Lamar for the most part, but, you know, Justin Tucker missing kicks, I got to think he's going to shore that up at some point here. You know, if they get that 2-point conversion to Mark Andrews a couple years ago, we're singing a different tune. If Lamar doesn't space out and throw a pick to Joey Porter Jr. last year. It just seems like there's been so many coin flip type results that have gone the Steelers' way that one of these times it's going to go the Ravens' way. And why not a week when we just went through how banged up the Steelers are and how red hot Lamar and the Ravens are, and rested, I might add, considering they had a bye week and then something that's even easier on the body, playing the Giants.
I know. Sometimes it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And the Ravens are getting the Steelers at a good time. However, I also think, you know, I would lean toward Pony in one way that Lamar sees ghosts against the Steelers. These things happen more. He makes horrible decisions and plays against them. And I also wonder about this, Brian. Is this will be the first time, and I couldn't believe this when I saw it yesterday, that he starts at home against the Steelers in front of an actual crowd? Is that right, or is it the second time?
I'd have to go back and look. I mean, I'm just going off the top of my head. There was the RG3 game in 2019. 2020 was no crowd. I don't even think I was there.
What about the Bob Spillane interception game?
That was Lamar, and that was the COVID year, I'm pretty sure.
Otherwise,
I would have been there. Yeah. Tyler Huntley has regaled us with so much quarterback play over the years in Steelers-Ravens. So, I mean, I am excited for this one. I think it's going to be a great test of what you just so eloquently laid out there, Joe, of how the Steelers have owned these guys. And yet, you know, the Ravens need this one in a big way. They have the cleaner sheet, the cleaner bill of health, I think. Although I want to say Rashad Bateman might be in doubt for this game, which would be a big loss for their passing game. So, yeah, I mean, they should be juiced up for this one at home, and that monkey on their back of the Steelers seems a little less intimidating when they are not at full strength and missing guys who have been so key to what's made them good this year, including that first Ravens game.
Yeah, Owe is another guy who was limited yesterday, and he's been kind of important for them. But my question that I was getting to on that previous point was this for you, Brian, is – given the fact that it'll be Lamar in front of a home crowd for the first time against the Steelers with people actually in the building, I could see that going one of two ways, either infusing him with confidence to have his people behind him in Baltimore, or there's enormous pressure on the Ravens, I think, in this game. Because eventually, if you don't break the Steelers' hex, I was just watching a good piece by Kyle Brandt on this today. He's saying it's not even a rivalry these days. It's big brother, little brother. They just beat them every time. If it gets to be 9 out of 10, I mean, I can see that whole building, if things go wrong early, including Lamar, just becoming, filled with angst. You know what I mean? That crowd could work for him or against him. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a great point on the Steelers and their AFC North year in and year out matchups. I scoff at people who don't think the Browns are a rivalry with them right now. Obviously, the franchise success isn't even close. There's no discussion there, but they basically trade back and forth in the last several years. And the last time they played a big game in Pittsburgh, the Browns sent them home. So I think that very much is a rivalry. But to that point, the flip side of it, you can't really say it has been with the Ravens because of how badly they have made this series one-sided over the last 4 or 5 seasons. And I guess for me, Joe, it just comes down to, in this Lamar versus the Steelers discussion, belief in the player himself and confidence, how much confidence you have that guy is going to shake it off at some point. And after losing, 3 or 4 in a row or whatever it's been to this team, could easily flip the script and win 3 or 4 in a row or 5 or 6, because I think he's that good. I think he will rise to the occasion. I am a Lamar believer, and it doesn't look pretty usually when he plays the team I cover, but I tend to think that you can't really have too many answers for somebody who's as gifted as he is.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Brian Backo of the Post-Gazette. Brian, the Steelers run the ball a lot. Man, do they run it a lot. I think they're second in the NFL in attempts, but they haven't been running it effectively. I think since the bye, they're less than maybe something like 3.5 yards a carry. Since the bye, everybody, including me, wants to see more pop, which means more Jaylen Warren. Not so much Najee, maybe, or a little less Najee, and no Cordarrelle Patterson whatsoever. What do you think of the state of the running game, and how do they juice it up?
Yeah, I'm with you on that last point. And, you know, hearing from Arthur Smith yesterday, he was really getting pun intended. He was getting a lot of mileage out of the metaphor of this running game being like an old pickup truck where sometimes you got to crank the key a little bit and it plods along, but then it can kind of get up there and start to gain some steam. I think that analogy can fall apart at times, and I would rather this be a high-powered sports car of an offense than anything else when you talk about efficiency. The Najee Jaylen thing is interesting because I'm with you. I think Jaylen has looked like the better back in, I don't know, four or five of the last six games maybe at this point, largely since the bye. But Najee's been really good in Baltimore. I think he's got back-to-back 100-yard games there, so he likes something about seeing all that purple. And I think he's really motivated after that fumble. I mean, I think he wants to bounce back, atone for that. It's hard to run any angrier than he does on a regular basis, but I think this is a big game for him. And I think one of the unspoken things is this could be his last Steelers-Ravens game if he's in, you know, elsewhere next season.
And he had a memorable one, what was it, 2 years ago when he caught the game-winning pass from Pickett at the end.
Yeah, but was he targeting Steven Sims? We'll never know.
Well, that's a good question. Another hot topic. I was just asking Hokie about this one. There really hasn't been an appreciable change in the usage of Pat Freiermuth. People want more of this guy. Was already asked about that?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
He wasn't, but Russell Wilson was, and you know, as he always is with any player you bring up to him, you could probably bring up the last guy on the practice squad, and he'd talk about how he's making plays out there, and it's only a matter of time before he's an all-pro player in the NFL. But he said Freiermuth is on fire. So I mean, hey, I
what do you
get
mean
it.
He's on fire? He only had three catches for 22 yards the last game.
He's referring to the touchdown, I suppose, and he has been a touchdown maker in recent weeks. But, yes, I would like to see a little bit more consistent usage, let's say, between the 20s as opposed to just the red zone and at the goal line, which he obviously does very well. But with not having George Pickens in there, too, if that's the case again, man, I mean, where else are you going to go with the ball? I mean, that's kind of the puzzle for Arthur Smith to figure out right now. I think he's clearly your best pass catcher, even though he doesn't have a WR by his name, and they're going to have to find ways to try to scheme him open or get mismatches because he is reliable. And right now, there's not a whole lot of other guys who are in your receiving corps.
See, I think that touchdown catch by him was instructive in that he doesn't have to be wide open. I think he's really good at, you know, basketball style 50-50. And I also think he can get down the field a little bit more than he is. He used to with Ben. I mean, how could this guy have games of 2 catches for 16, 2 for 19, 3 for 17, 2 for 14? What are we doing here? If you, I don't know if you call it forcing the ball. I don't. If a guy is a human mismatch, get him the ball. Let him make some plays. That was a perfect example. I don't even think that was a very good throw. You know, it could have been picked.
I thought it was going to get intercepted from the press box.
Yes, Freiermuth made a great play. He's capable of that. I like him in 50-50s. So if you want to use the term force him the ball as if that's a negative, okay, I'm not talking about you, people in general, then force him the ball, I say.
Yeah, and when we asked Pat about that at various points, whether it's this year or when they were going through the doldrums on offense last year at times, I mean, he usually says if he's not being targeted for the most part, it's defensive attention being thrown his way, and then there's open alleys on the outside. But just a couple weeks ago when they beat, I think they beat the Browns at home, and he punted the ball into the stands, and it was almost like a cathartic relief for him. I mean, he did kind of make a subtle comment that he thinks he's a pretty good player and that he can make plays when they target him. So I don't, you know, Russ hasn't always been, really productive as a quarterback for tight ends. So that there's a little bit of something's got to give there with who he likes to throw to and what Arthur Smith has done schematically in his career. But I say throw all that out the window, and I'm pretty much with you, Joe. I mean, he can make those contested catches, and without George Pickens, he's the best guy on your roster to do it.
Here's another number to throw at you, Brian. Is he's been targeted 56 times and has 47 catches. And if he hadn't dropped that one the other day, and yes, everybody drops him once in a while, it'll be 48 of 56. That's like 85% of the time you throw to him, it's a completion. I kind of like that idea. Plus, he has 6 touchdowns. He's back on the touchdown train. I think he's a big story going into this little stretch, and then the playoffs. It's almost like you can unveil a new weapon, for God's sakes, in a guy that you already have.
Yeah, and I've been saying for weeks now that I think it's probably time to pare down the rotation a little bit. I mean, you mentioned less Cordarrelle Patterson, maybe infinitely less Cordarrelle Patterson, and I don't necessarily disagree with you there, although I guess it was a couple weeks ago, and since he kind of showed some juice maybe, but then the fumble was also not good. Maybe less Mykole Pruitt and Connor Hayward as well. I know they're not playing a lot, but I'm almost at a point now where it's like, why use any snaps on them? I know there's certain personnel groupings and formations, but Darnell Washington has kind of vanished as far as being targeted. And, you know, it's not like he's ever going to be the next Tony Gonzalez, but, you know, he's got soft hands and can find the soft spot in the zone here and there. Another guy that we saw in, was it Denver? He made the contested catch in the end zone from Justin Fields. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said for kind of streamlining where you're going with the ball and kind of like a basketball coach shortening his rotation going into March Madness.
Brian, you're a wonderful man. I know you need to go into the locker room. If you have any gems, can you please text Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers?
Yes, I will do that, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. See you, man.
That's Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. And here's another thing, and I know you're a Penn State guy, Sean, is Pat Freiermuth was a luxury pick. And if you're going to take a tight end that high in the draft, now didn't they pass up Creed Humphrey, if memory serves, to take a tight end?
Yeah, I believe he went in the second round.
Then use him. Please use him. I mean, he's averaging 3.3 catches per game. If you have a guy like this and you invested in a guy like this with a high draft pick and a new contract, come on, use him. Do you agree?
Even when everyone is healthy amongst the pass catchers, he should have been used more. If you're missing any of them, in particular your best receiver, he should be the number one guy. I don't think there's any doubt. And yeah, you mentioned his rookie year. I thought he was really, really good his first year, and he's always had a knack for scoring touchdowns, even back to his time at Penn State.
I think Ben gave him chances to make plays that other guys have not.
Yeah, he's not going to be a guy who catches 10 passes a game, but I think he could be a legitimate red zone threat, which it seems like they're kind of lacking amongst receivers.
Well, at least they are doing. I mean, he does have 6 touchdowns. That's the one area where they're giving him some opportunity.
Right. I mean, honestly, I think he's a guy that every single year should be closing in on double-digit touchdowns. And that had not happened the last couple of years.
For sure. I guess I'm just way more interested in using him to get to the red zone as well. We'll talk about that coming up. We'll also talk about what Ben had to say in terms of the playoffs on his podcast, Footballin', and the team he fears the most in the AFC. And then why don't we talk about the game tonight? I asked Hokey of his favored matchup in the playoffs. Obviously, you want to play at home, right? You want to win the division and play at home. But of those four teams that are possible to play, all things aside, all things being equal, which team would you most want to play if you're the Steelers? The Ravens, Texans, Chargers, or Broncos? Is that an easy question for you out there or difficult? Ravens, Texans, Chargers, Broncos, 412-928-9370. That's 928-9370. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contest page. Man, we got a lot of things going on in the NFL. The biggest games of the year are at hand. Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of a game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Starkey to join today. You'll get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/Starkey. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.